Good morning. Today we're still talking to Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3 is the main focus, and talking about Eli responding or listening to God. And I'm sure this is not a good example, but how many of you have ever experienced using voice recognition to find something? Just like your phones. You can do this, and you can say, "Tell me about Eli and Samuel in the Bible."
"I thought so."
And it'll come up, and she said, "I thought so." So she must not have understood Eli, because she's got Elon. But I did it earlier this morning, and you can do that, and it'll give you a list of scriptures and verses and things you can look up. So, using this, and how many of you have ever used, I did it the other day, like, I don't know what you call it, Google Maps or whatever. You're going somewhere and you don't know where you're going. Mm-hmm. You kind of know, but you really don't know. Well, you can dial it in on your phone, and it'll tell you step by step where to go. But sometimes they take you the long way to get to where you want to go. But talking about in the lesson today, Eli, we know, was a leader, but in few words or less, he was sort of deaf to the ears. His ears were deaf to the word of God. He was sort of doing his job in a way, but not like he should. And we know from last week's lesson, Samuel, his mother, had promised that once he was able, she would take him back to the temple and leave him there, let him do his work there. And probably about this time now, I'd say Eli is maybe 12, 13 years old. And from what we can gather, his main focus was doing, if you want to call it, menial work, little things inside the temple. Little jobs. But if you read, and it's in Exodus, I believe, one of his little jobs was he was to keep the lamp or the oil lamp lit. In Exodus 27, it says, "In the tent of meeting outside the curtain that is in front of the testimony, it says, Aaron and his sons are to keep the lamps burning before the Lord from evening until morning. This is to be a lasting ordinance among the Israelites for generations to come." So Samuel was fulfilling a duty, a task there. But the lesson starts out that Samuel is asleep, and he hears a voice, which is the voice of God, and he calls out to him. It says, in chapter 3, it says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions." And it says, "One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was." It says, "Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli, and he says, 'Here I am, you called me.' And Eli responds, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.'" We may have asked this question before. Has anybody ever heard or had an audible word from God? Probably not. Does he speak to us in other ways besides an audible voice?
Yes.
Do we listen?
Not all the time.
Not all the time.
At least we're honest.
Yeah. Man, I'd be the same way. But the significance here is God not only spoke, called one time, he called three times. Now, is there another story in the Bible that you could relate that to? Because Jesus told Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Why not just one time, Lord?
You know,
giving me a chance. So why do we have to go through the Lord calling out Samuel three times? If we were in a theater and this was a play, and the scene had come up like this, and God's voice calls Samuel, and Samuel goes to Eli once, how does it make you feel? Do you feel a little anxious? What's coming next? Like I said earlier, do I expect the answer to be on this first call? Or do I anticipate that they're going to do it again? Does it gain your attention? Does it make you a little more attentive to what's going on? Riding in today, there was a sign. I like to read signs on businesses that put out. And one, the sign said, the beginning is easy. To continue is hard. So, kind of tying that into the lesson and being a young Christian and like Samuel, his beginning is easy, but his continuation is going to be hard. Because can we say that calling him three times, that if you were witnessing to someone, God doesn't give up on you the first time? He's going to call you again. He's going to keep knocking on your door until you respond. Because we go back to Peter. If Peter had just denied Christ one time and that was it, would we think that it was just something unintentional that happened? Peter just says, well, you know, you ask me a correct question, I'm going to give you an answer, and we're through with it.
Well, in him doing that, though, that's kind of, the Lord was all-knowing, and so he knew what was going to come down between the time, the first time Peter did that till the end of the story. So he was all-knowing, and nobody else knew, what, as Paul Hardy would say, about the end of the story, but the Lord did. He knew that the three times that Peter was asked that question, that's what he was going to do. Well, you know, the first couple of times with Samuel, he kept going. What if the third time he never got back up? I mean, so...
I mean, it makes you think, let's go back to, if you're not a non-believer, but you're struggling with your faith, and you keep getting this same message or this same affirmation that I really need to be doing something, but I just keep pushing it to the side. Is God intentional in his work? Or does he do these things unintentionally?
God has a reason for doing everything.
Everything.
Mm-hmm. Like we talked about too, the people that come to your mind just for an instant. And sometimes you pick up the phone or make a point to touch base with them. And then sometimes you don't. And then down the road, you know, something happens to them. And you thought, you know, I had them on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I should have just taken the time to reach out to them and I didn't. I mean, we're all guilty of that. It's a fast-paced world, and you just, you know, people make you just, like, just come through for a second. There's a reason, like you said. Yeah, there's a reason that they touched your mind, but we don't always follow the reason.
Mm-hmm. But does it give you any more appreciation for Eli when, after the third time, Eli tells him, he realizes that the Lord is speaking to Samuel, and in verse 8 and 9 it says, Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And it says Samuel went and lay down in his place. And it says, "Then the Lord came and stood there calling, as at the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel responds, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" Now, could we say that Eli being Eli, and maybe the things that he had not done, he could have just brushed this off with Samuel? You know, it's, you know, "I don't really care about this. Just leave me alone. Go on back to bed." But does Eli realize the Lord's calling Samuel? And Samuel doesn't really understand. "I've been there. I failed in a small way." But he reaches out to Samuel and responds to the Lord. Listen to what he says. Because how else can we as Christians grow in our faith and knowledge if we just relied, let's say, if we have the Bible at home and we don't open it and we don't go to church? Are we going to grow? Does the church play a part in this, in that God expects us to come together as a group to meet, not just to have a good time? You come to fellowship, you come to see, but there are needs that might need to be met, needs that might need to be mentioned. This writer asked a question: if you really wanted to hear a message from God, where is it? Right here. So if you don't open it, you're not going to hear from it. Did too many people expect maybe to hear what Samuel has heard? "I'm going to stay at home. I'm going to lay on the bed until I hear the Lord call my name. And then I'm going to answer him. Until then, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go enjoy life and do what I want to."
Because some people don't realize for some people, it's just too late.
Is it too late? Is it ever too late? True.
But I mean, because we do hear that. Pastors teach us that. And it's important that when a pastor preaches or you teach, that you do present there is the end. That everybody does that. Because we've heard over and over, some people leave this room or this church or this area and they die and they never hear it again. They never take the opportunity that has been given to them all their life. Just like Samuel. After the third time, if he hadn't answered him, was the Lord just going to go away? And just say,
"Don't know.
Well, hey, you missed your chance, Samuel." You know, it's kind of like Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he keep going back to Peter? Why didn't he just say, "Hey."
He had a purpose for his life.
Exactly.
Because the old and the story and the lesson about the old doubting Thomas. Can we rely upon that those who believe without seeing are blessed? Because, I mean, take us. Is anybody, I'm being outlandish, let's say, have you ever seen God? Have you ever heard that audible voice? But are you still blessed because of the past, what He brought to us and what He gave us?
And also, as Christians too, don't you think that we see Him every day?
In life?
We see miracles every day. Every day, but we don't see Him as somebody that we touch as a person, but we see His works every day, so that enables us to know that He loves us.
Mm-hmm. Because He asked a question, or kind of a comparison, is there a difference between simply reading and hearing the word compared to someone who has had a direct encounter with Christ? Can you gain the same blessing by just reading His word and applying it to your life versus someone who, let's say, had that special encounter? Yes. And they were touched.
People that don't, you know, I'm a big reader, so this is just a book. You just pick it up and you read it and you put it down and you move to another. Versus Christians, when you pick it up, it's not just a book, it's the word of God. So when you read it, even if you only read a verse, you know, it can work in your life in the instant that you're in right then. The mess that you've gotten yourself into, this can help you. Whereas, I mean, and there are people that don't believe the Bible, but there are also people that don't believe the Bible and have read it from cover to cover, and it's just a book.
Mm-hmm. Because in the following verses, we won't read them all, after the Lord spoke to Samuel and He tells him He's about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. And He goes on talking, verse 14, it says, "Therefore swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." It says, Samuel lay down until morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. But he was afraid to tell Eli about the vision. But Eli called out to him. Now, does Eli know something's going on? Is he curious? Because he says, you know, what was it He said to you? Do not hide it from me. It says, may God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide anything from me, anything He told you. Well, is that like a little child that has done something wrong? And we had this in our little family. Morgan was telling us all of a sudden, soap dish is broken in the bathroom. I don't know, Mom. I went in there and it was just broken. So they had a little meeting about being honest, and the conversation started well. So, you know, you have to. But does Eli sense the Lord spoken to you? He knows my past, and I'm fixing to be punished for my wrongdoings? Because the story about Eli and his sons, this is, their behavior was wrong. But it says Eli, he couldn't bring it to himself to remove his own sons from their priestly offices. Now, do we see that happen in our world today, where it might be at a job or somewhere else where it's, let's say, a family situation, and the family runs the business, but they're not taking care of it like they should, and you're working hard, but you don't get acknowledged. And if you go to the main person, are you hesitant to speak against their blood and kin? Because you might be retaliated against.
I worked in two family businesses for that long.
It can be difficult. Yeah, it can be difficult. But in Eli's case, we know that naturally, hopefully, Eli knew right from wrong, and that one day God's going to hold him accountable for things that have gone on in his life. Did he have faith in God? And you know, do we have a strong faith in God, or is it, I say I do, but it's weak? I say I'm a Christian, but I really know that I don't do the things I really should be doing. Is that, on our case, is that bad for us? Can it destroy our spirit in a way to where maybe a person feels like, I can't come to this church or any church and feel welcome because I know I've done wrong? I mean, I'm
not all perfect. We all do things that we probably shouldn't do at times, but the Lord forgives us, and I hope we don't ever make anybody feel like they're not
welcome.
But I feel like we do make people feel welcome, so I hope people don't feel that way when they
But it can rich. Happen, yeah. Not necessarily here.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think Eli had some faith? Because
oh, yeah.
How did he know? Why did he tell Samuel to listen?
Well, had God spoken to him in the past?
That's right. So
and
why did he tell Samuel to pay attention? And, you know, that's really kind of what he did. When you hear him the next time, talk, listen, and do what he did.
Wasn't Eli the priest over the temple?
Mm-hmm.
So he was supposed to be God's representative.
Right.
Supposed to be.
And his...
That's right, though. Because
he did not... If he had been God's representative like he should have been, mm-hmm. he would have already taught Samuel, who was taking care of him, about the law.
Mm-hmm. Because we go back, and we know in the history, like the Israelites, you know, God did come in and rescue them at one time, and they thought, well, we're okay now, but they were confused still. I still want to worship my little statue, Baal, but I'm trying to worship God too, and that doesn't work. And that's kind of Eli's situation. Is his sons, he never took it upon himself to tell his sons what they were doing wrong. Why? Don't know. But this is the aftermath. But now, this is a thought question, and I had to read it two or three times. Can we be brought to ruin not by personal lust or unkindness or arrogance, but by the people we love?
You can let them influence our lives.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it's saying you can love someone even though they're a sinner. But if you let them come in and influence your life, can their effect then ruin your beliefs and take over? So we move forward in verses 19 through 21. It says, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. It says, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. It says, the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Well, it's telling us, I mean, God just didn't select Samuel and put him in here and leave him. He stayed with him. He stays with us every day of our life that we're here. But he also wanted people to see. We could take it that Samuel was selected. He is a servant of mine, but the things that he's doing are prophecies that I've told you things will happen, and things are happening the way I said. But we know as things go along, it says, now I won't go into Jeremiah, but it says that the sanctuary at Shiloh was destroyed. And it almost happened right after the Israelites lost the Ark of God, or the Ark of the Covenant of God. And we know Samuel went back to his hometown in Ramah, and there he built an altar to God. And you can say this is where maybe his ministry started, or at that point, the people in Ramah, maybe their spiritual experience had been weakened. They didn't have the teachings that they should. And this became the center of, let's say, Samuel and his messages. But the thing about Samuel is, any prophet or any servant of the Lord, can we say that Samuel did this boastfully? Or he did this because he knew the works of the Lord. He knew what the Lord wanted him to do. Because what is a church? The people. Do you have to have big golden doors to enter into the most ornate decorations? I mean, here it tells us Samuel built an altar. Do we have altars in our lives, let's say, or maybe do we have anything in our homes that we use to honor God? I know I've mentioned this before, and it comes again. We know we have the prayer room right across the hall. But I've never seen this except at this lady's house. There was Miss Faith Etheridge. She actually had a prayer room that she would go into. She had her pillow and everything there. And that's where she would go on a daily basis and pray. And it just kind of sticks in your mind. It's, you know, why don't I practice it that way? Why don't I do that? But the role of a pastor, if we want to call Samuel a pastor, what should be the main role of a pastor or of a leader?
To lead his flock.
Mm-hmm. Teach the word. Are they to be held up on a pedestal?
No,
they're untouchable. They're human beings. But like Samuel, they should provide guidance, comfort, and in a situation like Samuel, temple was destroyed. I can even maybe use this as sort of an example. We had a problem, we had an accident here at the church. We didn't have the sanctuary to meet into like we normally are accustomed to, but did we close the doors? That you can meet and gather at any place. But do some people expect more out of a church or even a pastor as far as their leadership and what they. But it's up to us to follow the guidance and the leadership of the pastor to help others. My mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.